you today. We're so glad that you're here. You may be seated. We are glad that you're here. For those, there are probably a lot of guests here today. It's Father's Day, and so a lot of people are here to worship with their father, and so we're glad that the Lord has led you to worship with us. And some of you are just here, you're on vacation, and you decided, well, we're going to go to First Baptist Church and worship. So we're glad that you're here. There's a guest card on the far right-hand side of your bulletin. If you'll hit that with your phone, not literally, but you know what I'm talking about. If you'll touch that with your phone, it'll take you to a guest card, and you can fill that out for us. Give us as much information as you feel you would like to give us. So we appreciate you being here. First thing we want to do is we want to recognize all of our dads. So on Mother's Day, we recognize all of our moms. On Father's Day, and we give moms flowers. We don't give dads flowers. We don't want to do that. All right, so dads, granddads, all in the balcony, in the choir, praise team, all out here, all of our dads, please stand up. Every dad here, granddad, all of you, stand up. There, hey, the greatest job you have that God has given you is to be a dad. And so thankful for you being here today to worship the Lord with your family. So glad you're here. Good. Glad you're with us. All right, have a seat. All right, so I think it was it January? I don't know. Sometime. We're in staff meeting and we're finishing up staff meeting. And so Paul says, you do realize that in June, you'll be 30 years as the pastor of this church. I said, oh yeah, I'm well aware of 30 years of pastoring this church. And so they kind of hem-hawed around. Well, what do you want to do? What they were really trying to say is we can't, please don't make us do what we did. And so I said, all right, look y'all, the 25th, 5 years ago, was unbelievable. If you weren't here 5 years ago, let me tell you what happened. Sometime that spring, Paul in staff meeting said, okay, on this particular Sunday in June, we're going to have one worship service, no Sunday school, you're not preaching, and that's all you're going to know. And I said, okay. So I showed up that day, I knew nothing, not one thing. And so all of a sudden, old staff members were showing up, and old friends of mine. Y'all, you know the group that I call the idiots that are my idiot friends. They were all showing up with their wives, and I was like, oh, this is going to be big. And it was. It was a huge day. My best friend, Tommy Fuller, preached. It was phenomenal. Ron and Cindy Churchill from Plant City, Florida, drove all the way up. He spoke. It was great. We had videos of old staff members and friends that spoke about our 25 years. It was kind of like today, it was blended. Ken and our former music minister, Danny Kuntz, had the choir, the praise team. It was a big day. Then we all left, and we all went to Civitan Park, and we had this humongous picnic that Martha put together. It was it Local Joe's, Martha? Local Joe's catered it. It was great. The sun was out. It was just absolutely perfect. People were sweet and kind, and we just absolutely were humbled by that day. We were so excited, and everything about it was great. But I looked at the staff, and I said, we can't do that again. That's a once-in-a-lifetime, 25 years, perfect. It was great, but we can't do that again. And they were relieved. Good, because we don't want to have to put all that together. And they worked hard to get that together, Karen and Paul and Ken and all of the staff. We said, but we got to do something. Somebody in the staff said, you know, 30 years is a big deal. And I'm beginning to realize that. I did a wedding about a month ago. And so there was another pastor from Marshall County there. We know each other. After it's over with, I said, what are you doing here? He said, well, my wife works with the bride, yada, yada, yada. And so, okay. He's introducing me to all of his friends and his wife. It's Joel Samuels, pastor of First Baptist Gunnersville. His wife said, you've been there a while, right? And I said, yeah, 30 years. Well, this preacher in Marshall County, he couldn't let it go. I would be talking to this family over here, and I'd hear him in my right ear go, 30 years? 30 years? how have you done that? And I'd go, I don't know. I woke up one day, and it's been 30 years. I'd be talking to this couple over here. Now, where are you? We live in Sardis. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. 30 years? And what he really wanted to ask was, how have they not fired you in 30 years? And I said, you see that cute chick in the black dress sitting over there? And he said, yeah, they love her. I'm good with that answer. So, yeah, 30 years, it's been that. So we've got to recognize the fact that 30 years of ministry, this great marriage that exists between Joel Samuels and this church is just such a great marriage. And the Lord has been so good to us and so good to this church. And we're just so grateful. So before we ask some questions, we want to show. I think it was Karen that said, get some pictures together. We got to have some pictures, and we need to have pictures of. And so here's what we put together. All right, so let's see that.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my
How about that? Did y'all love those? The best was Dog and Beth. Y'all, that was so great. All right, so let me ask a few questions and y'all respond to these questions. All right, so three members of the search committee are still left. Richard Manley, Candy Patterson, and Frank Duckett was the chair. Y'all stand. Richard, Candy, and Frank, three of the committee that brought me here are still. Frank was the chair of that search committee, and so I'm thankful for these three that somehow, for some reason, believed in me and brought me here, and so we're thankful for that, all right? All right, if you were a member of First Baptist Church, part of First Baptist Church 30 years ago when I became the pastor, please stand up. Let's see just how many people are still left. Rourke and Karen are here. Look at that. Sorry to point y'all out, but we don't get to see them very often. So good to see you, Rourke. Good to see you, Karen. All right. No, stay. Keep staying. Stand up. I want to just look around and see. That's not a lot. The world has changed. And the church has changed. All right. You can be seated. All right. Now, if you... If I baptized you or a family member, let's say I baptized your child or a parent, somebody that's a close family member. If I baptized you or baptized a close family member, please stand up. All right? Neat. All right? I'm good with that. That's good. All right, if I have done a wedding, boy, if I've done a wedding for you or your child or a parent, a close family member, if I've done a wedding for you, then please stand up. Stay standing just for a moment. I do a lot of weddings, y'all. I do a lot of, what are y'all doing? That makes me nervous. All right. Yeah, so one of my regrets is the fact that I have not kept up with all of the weddings that I've done. I'm standing in a bathroom, too much information, standing in a bathroom, doing a wedding about a month ago. One of all, the guy named Derek Jones, most everybody that's young knows Derek. We're standing there at the bathroom and Derek says, how many of these have you done? I've been to hundreds of these weddings that you've done. How many? I said, Derek, I wish that I would have written it down, but I haven't written it down. But a lot of weddings. Thank you. All right, you can be seated. All right. If I've done a funeral for your close family member, a wife, a husband, a mom, a dad, a grandparent, child, if I've done a funeral of a close family member of yours, please stand. A lot. All right. If I have ordained deacons, if I was the preacher that was the ordination preacher or a ministry, y'all stand. All those who were ordained since I've been the pastor here at First Baptist. All right, good deal. Thank you. All right, here's the reason I point those things out. Those events are some of the most important events in your life. Baptism, wedding, the wedding of a child, funerals, the funeral of a wife, a husband, ordinations, longtime members of a church. So those are some of the most important, impactful moments of your life. And I have the joy, privilege, the honor of being with you in those so important moments of your lives to remind you of the good news of the gospel. And that is a powerful, powerful, powerful thing that I never, ever, ever take for granted. So thank you for being a part of that. All right, Ken, Paul, huh? Yes, that's what you're doing.
That's why I'm not sitting on the back row.
I forgot that part, Paul. Sorry.
Joel, we love you. Let's let him know, okay?
Thank you, Paul.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you so much that you reached down and you saved Joel Samuels with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so grateful, Father, that you brought him into the ministry and you ordained him, not just by a church laying on our hands, but you ordained him from heaven. And Lord, we're so grateful for Janice that came into his life and how they have raised a great family here at First Baptist. And we just want to thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you for the fact that Joel's feet have firmly been planted, as he phrases it, in the concrete of the gospel. He doesn't waver back and forth, but he's faithful. And so, Lord, we thank you for the over 1,300 additions to this church and the 475 baptisms that have taken place since he's been pastor. And so, Lord, we mark this as the 30th milepost in his ministry, but Lord, we're looking forward to many more. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll continue to bless Joel and his family. And Lord, continue to lead and guide them as he leads this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul.
This time, would our ushers come forward, prepare to receive the offering? All right, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for Joel. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, that I've had to serve on staff with him for over 18 years, and just so thankful for the longevity you've given him as our pastor, and just thank you for the health of our church and the love that people have for one another. And I just thank you for the direction that we're heading, and just pray that you would strengthen us as we move forward for your kingdom's sake. I pray that you'd bless each person that's a part of our church family, each person in Joel's family. And bless us all today as we love you, as we worship you, as we serve you. And Lord, I pray that the offerings that are given today and every day through this church will be used to advance the kingdom, minister to people, and take your word, Lord, throughout the world through the missionaries that we support. And Lord, thank you. We love you and we praise you. You are the King, you are the Lord, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's not offering time yet, Ken. All right, so we are going to do something different today. And what we're going to do is not Hosea. I'll be back in Hosea next week. I really struggled with what am I supposed to do today. And so I really kind of came to Philippians 1:21. So if you want to turn there, you can. Philippians 1:21, a little short verse from the Apostle Paul. And that's where I'm going to be today. So, 30 years ago, June the 16th, 1996, was Father's Day, third Sunday of June, was my first sermon at First Baptist Church as the pastor of this church. And y'all, on one hand, did y'all look at those, see those pictures, Ben, Carson, Mary Glenn, you're in there now. And so to see that, Janice, that was a lifetime ago. I mean, that was a lifetime ago. And yet, at the same time, Janice and I, we've been talking about it over the past couple of weeks, just like that. The answer that I kept giving that guy, that preacher that was going 30 years, the answer that I kept giving him is, I don't know. One day I woke up and it's been 30 years. So it's like James says, it's a vapor. You know, this thing called life. And 30 years later, here we are. Well, my first sermon that I preached as the pastor of this church was Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so, once I've told you that I have not done a good job recording all of my weddings and all of my funerals. I regret it. I regret the fact that I look back and I go, man, I wish that I would have had a list of all of the weddings that I've done and all of the venues. I've been to every venue known to man in the state of Alabama and all over to do weddings. And I wish that I would have listed all of those things down. But one thing that I have done very well is I have a paper copy and a digital copy of every sermon that I have ever preached. I have one Bible that I record the date of that passage of Scripture that I preached from that passage. One Bible. So I've got two references. I can go to that Bible and look at a text, say I preached on that text three times, and here's the, and then I go to my files, and there it is. Or I can just go to the file, and I know what I'm looking for. But I've done very, very, very well on recording and putting in a file all of those sermons. I am a manuscript writer. I never preach in outline, ever, ever. This brain cannot do that, all right? Some brains can, this brain cannot. So I write everything out. The whole sermon is in manuscript form and it's put up in my file. So I go back to June the 16th, 1996, and I pull out this sermon, and I look, and it's Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I pull that sermon out, and I start reading through it, and I think, all right, on that day, I wanted to tell you the historical context. What's Paul doing? And I wanted you to know from the very beginning, we're always going to stick to the Scripture. We're always going to know what it is the author that God is trying to communicate through that writer, Paul, or Amos, or Hosea, or whatever. What is God trying to communicate? And so we looked at that passage of Scripture from its historical context. Paul is writing in a prison cell in Rome. And he's writing to his friends at the church at Philippi. Philippi is a bedroom community for Rome. And it's actually turned into, at that point, a retirement community for soldiers. And this church is planted there. So Paul has a bunch of friends that are really trying to do this thing called church, the body of Christ, in Philippi. He's in a prison cell in Rome. And so he talks about, he opens it up and he says, he's talking about how thankful he is for them and all that kind of stuff. And then he gets to this point and he's really showing them his own example. And in that communication, Paul says, for to me, now he's writing from a prison cell. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die. And he's basically saying to this church in Philippi, it doesn't matter. Either way, I'm good. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So if sovereign God allows me to live through this experience in prison for the gospel, then I will preach and I will teach and I will live Christ, the gospel, the good news. That's my only concern, is living for the gospel, the good news of Christ. And if indeed the sovereign Father in the midst of this decides that it's time for them to kill me, and they kill me in this prison cell, he says, I'm good. As a matter of fact, Paul goes on in that context to say, actually, I'd rather that happen. I would rather they kill me, because I gain heaven. And I will go and spend my heavenly reward with the Father. So if I live, it's going to be Christ, and that's all that it's going to be. And if they kill me, I gain Christ. And so either way, I win. Either way, I'm good. So that was the historical context of that passage of Scripture. Then I turned it toward all of us, especially fathers. I want to tell you how crazy the brain works. Do y'all remember a month ago? Of course, this is, you know, every now and then I throw a softball and it's time for you to knock it out of the park. So act like you listened. Do y'all remember a month ago when I said, how would you fill in the blank? Come on. Yes. Of course. Yes, of course. Thank you. I said, what if I gave you some truth serum? Remember that part? What if you were so comfortable that you were like Tim Hayes with a microphone in your hand? Remember that part? Because most of you are very uncomfortable if I was to call you to come up here. You'd be, but if you were, nobody's been more comfortable with a microphone in his hand than Tim Hayes. So you're that kind of comfort level. And you've got truth serum flowing through your veins. You have no choice but to tell the truth. And you were to, I was to ask this question, for to me to live is, with what word would you fill in the blank? Y'all, when I'm preaching, we were starting a series on authenticity. What does it mean to be authentically Christ follower in an inauthentic world? And all of a sudden, that question that I asked 30 years ago, I can't tell you what I had for lunch yesterday, but I can remember that question from that sermon 30 years ago. So if I was to ask you that question, for to me to live is, with what word would you fill in the blank? Paul filled it in, Christ. What do you fill it in? Money? Possessions? The American dream. You've been taught the American dream your entire life. An earthly love relationship. There's a movie out way, way, way back called Urban Cowboy. I'm dating myself. Urban Cowboy. And one of the songs from that movie sung by a guy who owned a huge bar in Houston, Texas, named Mickey Gilley. And he wasn't meaning it to be biblically accurate, but he was. And that song says, looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in too many faces. It's not a Christian song, but man, that's a good song. So, for to me, to live is, I've known a lot of people that have ruined their lives looking for love on this earth. I've known a lot of people who've ruined their lives looking for searching for the American dream because it never satisfies. So what would it be for you? Would it be the pleasures of this world? How would you fill in that blank? For to me to live is... And so on that Sunday, that's what I was asking. And so I looked to Dad's. I said, okay, this is not just my first Sunday to preach as the pastor of the church. This is Father's Day. So Dad's, for to me to live is, with what word do you fill in the blank as dads? So then I turned it toward the church. So I started asking this question. All right, well, what about, I'm the new pastor of First Baptist Church. 32, thin, dark, what hair I had was dark. Good looking, golly, man, cute. How many of y'all remember June Knight? Yeah, some of you remember June Knight. June Knight on Sunday morning, she would say, oh my goodness, Joel. She was the sweetest thing ever lived. She would see me, she said, oh Joel, oh, you are so cute. I just love the way Janice dresses you. Oh, thank you, June. That was sweet. I would come home and tell Janice, Janice would be like, oh, I've never dressed you, obviously. So we turned our attention then to the church. And so I started asking this question. All right. For to us, how do we fill in that blank? As the body of Christ, as the church, what do we answer? Because let me tell you something. I, at 32 years old, had already lived long enough and had been a pastor for long enough. I'd already realized and recognized that churches are and denominations are just like individuals. We lose our way on good things. And I told you on that Sunday, I said, there will be so many of you that will try to pull me in this direction. Some of you will try to pull me in this direction. Others will try to pull me here. Others will try to pull, others, you will all want to, Joel, you need to do it this way, you need to do it. But I'm telling you, the answer is Christ. For to us, to live will be Christ. How do we as a church, as the body of Christ, how do we answer that question? All right. So this is the line that I used. All right. So I'm sitting in my office a month or so ago. And I'm reading through this sermon that I preached. And here's the line that I had. And y'all, I was so impressed with my 32-year-old self. I was. Here's what I said. We will float in a sea of irrelevance if we ever lose our vision for the gospel. We will float in a sea of irrelevance if we ever lose our vision for the gospel. Now that's who I am. That's what I was saying on that day. First Sunday. That's who I am and that's what I will be. Now, I'm very self-deprecating. You all know that. I cut myself more than I... But y'all, I sat there in my office and I thought, I'm proud of that. I look and I go, okay, when I was 32 years old, on that Sunday, if I could look forward for 30 years, and would I be proud of what's happened in the 30 years? Now, yeah. What I mean by that is I have stayed true to that calling, the vision of the gospel. The Old Testament, there's four parts to the Old Testament. There's the law, there's the historical books, there's the wisdom poetry, and then there's the prophets. And every single thing in that Old Testament, everything, from in the beginning, God created, From that word all the way to the very end of the Old Testament, it all points us to Jesus. Everything. Everything points us to the gospel. Everything points us to our need. Our need for Jesus. Our need for the gospel. Everything in that old covenant points us to the gospel. And that's what I said on that day. So we're always going to be about the gospel. And then there's four parts to the New Testament. There's the gospel accounts. There's the Acts of the Apostles. There's the epistles. And then there's the Revelation. And so everything in the New Testament points us backward to Jesus. So everything points us forward to Jesus, backward to Jesus. But it's all pointing us, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Everything points to that point. And then the Revelation points us and says, Jesus says at the end of the Revelation, hey, quit worrying, church. I'm coming back to get you. Calm down. My translation. All right. So everything points us to the gospel. And then here's how I closed it. The gospel is everything that God has done for us in Jesus. Sin separates us from holy God. We are doomed, sentenced to death and hell. But God in His grace provided a way of salvation through His Son Jesus. And God's Word is His revelation of how He has done that for us. So, on this Father's Day, this beginning day of ministry for me and for this church, my prayer is that you walk away having heard the greatest good news in the history of the world. Y'all, have y'all ever heard me say that before? The greatest good news in the history of the world. The gospel. I said it that first day. I've been saying it ever since. We are sinners in desperate need of salvation. And if you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, then that is my prayer, our prayer for you today. There's only one way to salvation, and it is through Jesus. No matter what the world tells you that there are many ways. No, there's one way. His name is Jesus. And if you will repent of your sin and accept the gift of salvation that God wants to give you through belief in His Son, then you will be saved from death and from hell. And for those of us who know Christ as our Savior and Lord, my prayer will be, this was what I said, my prayer will be that you will learn and that I will be able to communicate to you effectively enough that you will learn that the gospel, the good news of the gospel, is so much more to you than fire insurance from hell. It is that. But we spent the 60s and the 70s and the 80s spending way too much time trying to make people understand that you get saved. Now once you're saved, we can move on. No. Trying to communicate to you that the gospel is our everything. It informs every area of your life. That's why I preach the gospel to myself every day. Worship, adoration, and praise to the Father. Confession of sin, confession of my need. Father, I know who You are. I know who I am. Thankfulness, thankfulness for all the gifts of life. I'm telling the Lord every single morning, I live in an entitlement world. And there's nothing uglier on a believer than a believer that has entitlement. That somehow somebody owes you something. Nobody owes you anything. And especially the Heavenly Father. So I'm telling the Lord every day, there's no entitlement here, Father. I'm thankful because I deserve nothing and I've gained everything, and it's all gifts. The gift of eternal life. The gift of these blessings. Look at this family that the Lord has given me. If I have to hear it once a day, I have to hear it 100,000 times a week. How in the world did I do that? Blessed. That's a blessing. The greatest blessing on earth is my wife. These children. Now these daughters-in-law. They're everywhere now, y'all. I mean, Carol Lee and Laura and Mary Glenn, oh my goodness. And them babies, Harris and Francis and Banks, and Moore's on the way. Yeah. Can I say that? I've already said it.
That's not bad, you said it.
That is such a perfect thing for me to say it and then wonder if it's okay. So we got more on the way. And oh my, so the Lord is so blessed. I was being serious when I said to that guy, why have they not fired you? Because that chick over there, she was talking to Jean Ann Scott. She and Jean Ann were sitting there talking, and I said, see that cute chick in the black dress? Yeah, oh, that's why they haven't fired me. His wife looked at me and said, they like her. I said, no, they love her. They absolutely love. What a blessing. So all these blessings, I'm telling the Lord, Lord, these are just blessings. It's all a blessing. The gift of my family, the gift of this church, the gift of friendships, the gift of the gospel, the gift of eternal life. Lord, I trust you today for all things, everything. Trust you, put my trust in your hands. And I'm content in you. I'm going to end with this. The song that they just sang, I wanted Ken and the choir to do. It's one of my favorites because of the lyrics. I mean, it's not one of those songs that you walk away and you go, my, they killed. No, it's an easy, which is me. It's easy, simple. Listen to that. But this is why I like the song. It's the gospel. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. So come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. So it's the gospel crying out to those who don't know Christ as Savior and Lord. Come to Jesus. That's where you're going to find life. Not in the things of this world, but Jesus. Now your burden is lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall every single day. So what? Fall on Jesus. The gospel informs everything. Fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, that is to say, everybody in here, we're going to have hard times. Life is hard. And when that happens, then cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus and live. Oh, and when love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, there's going to be some great days. This is a great day. This is one of those great days for me. Celebrating 30 years as the pastor of this church with my family and my friends. Yes. So dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, and live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye, then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. How great is that? Then fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, and live. That is the gospel, church. That is the good news. Father, thank you for the gift of life that comes in Jesus. Thank you for the gift that you've given to us of the gospel. And thank you that we can celebrate it today, Father. If there's anybody that doesn't know you, Savior and Lord, that's our prayer today, that you'll pull them to you. The Holy Spirit will pull them to salvation in Jesus. For those of us that know you as Savior and Lord, Father, just confirm it, etch it in our hearts deeper than it's ever been. There's no greater gift than the gift of the gospel. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Lord, I need you as our invitation. If you've never trusted Christ, then we encourage you to make that decision today. I'll be at front to receive you. If you need to come and pray, join our church. Do that as we stand, as we sing.
Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
It runs deep. Your grace is born. Your grace is found. It's where you are.
And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Real quick before we head off to Sunday school, what we got? All right, Ken, is that you or is that, no, that's senior adult. Mature adult celebrating, and it's going to be in the fellowship hall, June the 20th, 5 p.m., sign up, I'm sure, is on the old Lord's Supper table. All right, 250 celebration for our country. And then Ken.
Yeah, on July. Wow.
Yeah.
July the 5th, we're going to be celebrating America and our 250th anniversary at 6 o'clock, First Baptist Albertville. Found out this week that it's going to be inside, which is a relief to me. I didn't vote on the outside stuff, so especially on July the 5th, but it's going to be great. We've been practicing. It's going to be a time of worship, some patriotic songs, and so if you'd like to be a part of that, go to First Baptist Albertville on July the 5th.
All right. Okay. If you're at all interested in doing a Bible study at Terrace Lake on Mondays, some of our men have been doing that for years, and some of those have had to drop out. And so Doug said, hey, if we can get some more guys, if you're interested, you got a Monday that you can go every now and then, once a month maybe, then contact Karen at the church office, and she will lead you in the right direction for that. All right. And then last night, one of our longtime members, Bill Kane, struggling with a lot of different things, but he had pneumonia, and Bill passed about 8 o'clock last night. So be in prayer for Nan and for the family, and we'll be giving you all the information as we find that out in the next coming days. All right? All right. Anything else? All right. Let's all stand and close by singing Victory in Jesus and go to Sunday school.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We are more than conquerors. We are victorious. We are overcomers in Christ. In Christ.
Amen. God bless you. Go to Sunday school.